Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
You know, Loveline is a safe space. It's a space where we're not about shaming anything. And I just want my listeners to know, I just got headphone shamed. Dr. D is wearing his own private personal headphones, and producer Justin just told me that they were ridiculously big.
I said pretty big.
He said pretty big. So we're starting off the show. But don't worry, y'all. I'm tapping into my confidence. I understand that size is not a thing. It's not about size. It's about what you do with them. And I'm going to do some powerful things with these headphones. So we're going to be solid. All right. Later in the show, I'm going to be dropping some tips for couples that are in a long-distance relationship, which is quite common these days for a multitude of reasons. But I'm going to be dropping some tips for maintaining intimacy and sexuality while long-distanced, whether that's across the country, in another city or town, or even in another country completely. And also our question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page. So hit us up with your answers and follow us back. It's about a perfect date. I'm going to be writing some of these down. You know, it's a funny topic, the perfect date. People struggle and they'll say, where do I take someone on a date? I need date ideas. So this is for you to share with us what for you in fantasy or reality has been a perfect date. And also I'm going to be using it as a way to give people tips. We all need a little inspiration. But for now, let's jump right into a really, really funky article. And as always, I want to hear thoughts and comments, so give us a call about the things I'm talking about. Even if we've pushed onto a new topic, I'm always here to circle back. 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Dress codes. Sheer and Ryan from Let's Go There were teasing that they're going to be talking about it as well. It's a really, really funky article. You know, we're in this time where we still sadly attach someone's worth or value to what they're wearing. And that's classist. And what does that mean? That basically means that not everyone has the money to be able to dress in a quote unquote professional or appropriate way. So there's a school in Texas, Houston to be specific. Now, some schools have dress codes, and I understand that for a multitude of reasons. They actually want to not create a hierarchy of who can afford what and who's wearing what, but they're creating a dress code for parents. Yeah, that's right. They sent out a letter to all the parents telling them what they have to wear to be able to be on school property. It's actually completely ridiculous when you hear what they're saying. So clothing that the parents are not permitted to wear are, some of these words are actually kind of fascinating to me. They're not allowed to wear a satin cap or bonnet on their head. I was not familiar that people were wearing those, but hey. Hair rollers? Really? Pajamas of any kind. Now that's fascinating. I don't know what you consider pajamas, because they're, you know, people wear very comfortable gym clothes. We have a thing called athleisure wear, right? Basically, some of those look like pajamas. You're not allowed to wear leggings, sagging pants. Men are not allowed to wear undershirts, even though Houston gets hot as hell, or Daisy Dukes. That part, we can battle that one out, but I get that one a little more. Basically, though, they're saying that they want to create a professional environment for the parents. And, you know, parents push back, understandably, saying, well, congrats to the principal who has tons of money and time to go to the hairdresser and wear appropriate fashions. But for others, wearing a head wrap is what you do. Not all parents can afford to comply. And I agree with that. It's classist. It's also ableist. And basically that means is some people are disabled, and because of a disability, which covers a multitude of things, which could also cover just general fatigue, they're not able to always get themselves dressed in quote unquote appropriate things. Sometimes they have to wear very comfortable things because of movement issues, or maybe they are a wheelchair user, or again, chronic fatigue, and they're doing their best to get out of bed that day, maybe also for mental health issues, depression, anxiety, and they're showing up at school in what's comfortable for them. And I completely, completely support that. This came up also where people were saying, this was fascinating, there was an article about wanting people to dress up again when they fly in airplanes, and it's like, no, please wear what's comfortable. And that's kind of where I think we need to move towards in the world, is people wearing what they want, people wearing what's comfortable for them. So I don't know. That's very bizarre to me. They do not have my support. Pushing forward, male robots. Could male robots replace men for good for women? No. I'm just going to kind of blow that one out of the water. No. So basically, there's this fascinating article where they're debating whether or not the advent of male sex dolls, if they could replace human men as partners for good. No. And here's why. The experience of being with a human being is far different from the experience of being with a sex toy, whether it's the sex toy that's replacing an entire human or just a smaller version, like something handheld versus an entire body. Touch. Touch has a very different neurological and biological experience to it, to be touched. And we know that from interpersonal neurobiology. And basically what that big term just means is looking at what happens to your body and your psychology when you're around other people. And when we talk about things like intimacy, we know that your body near another body does not intimacy make. You can fly on an airplane for 6 hours seated next to someone, but you don't necessarily have built intimacy or relationality with them. That's because, in terms of psychology, the intention and kind of touch is actually what's most important. So we all know that as well, right? Someone can bump your arm and that does not feel close and caring. But if someone rubs you a certain way, it's the kind of rubbing, it's the pressure, it's the speed, it's how. Like, all those things are what really build intimacy. And sex dolls and robots will never be able to provide that. I'm not knocking them. I think they're phenomenal. They bring sex to people that need to use them for a multitude of reasons, whether they're housebound, they have social anxiety, a disability, whatever it is, or it's part of a kink. But it can never replace humans. Eye contact and touch are so important. And that's actually what usually adds to eroticism. So, you know, use your sex dolls. But you know, those of the male gender do not have to worry that they're going to be replaced with these. But it's a funky, funky, fun little article nonetheless. Okay, when we come back, we are going to be talking about sex ed. What? I already did sex ed in high school. Yeah, you did, but it was wrong. So I'm going to be breaking down the more important things we need to know about safer sex, because that's the term, not safe sex. Safer sex. That's right. Coming up next.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
You know, here's the funny thing about sex. Sex is everywhere, right? Everyone's doing it, and yet it's one of those things that we have so much anxiety around. We struggle to talk about it honestly and openly. And the number one place where we start to get that socialization around having confidence about sexuality and discussing our bodies and pleasure or the anxiety is our family of origin. And all families raise the individuals, right? Each other, but more importantly, the children, either in a sex positive family, which is the goal, where we can talk openly and confidently about our bodies and our sexual anatomy and pleasure, or we get raised in sexually anxious families. And that basically means families where, yeah, they'll acknowledge that sex is there and they'll use words like down there or your no-no spot, right? They're the families that don't use the right terminology. They're not going to say much about it, but they'll talk about it and dance around it. Then there's the sex negative families, which are very shaming. We are not talking about it. It is an unacceptable topic. Just don't do it. It's bad. Bad people do it. Bad girls do it. Or sexually traumatic, which is the most unfortunate. And that's where there's trauma, where there's poor boundaries, there's abuse, it's misused. And so we all come from one of those four families. And then the rest of our lives, it's our work as adults to kind of undo and work through that and not carry it forward. And it's really hard because the only education we get is in school. And God bless them, it usually comes from a teacher or someone internally that doesn't have a good relationship or understanding with sexuality. And it's often promoted in a way that's about reducing the anxiety of the parents. It's not about true education, right? It's about not letting the parents get upset about what we're teaching. And so it's not an education. It's really usually centered around things like abstinence. So a lot of the work I do when I'm focusing on couples exclusively around sex therapy is giving them, as adults that have had a lot of sex, a re-sex education. Well, it's 21st century and a lot of things have changed and keep changing, and that's really powerful. And so I'm going to give you a little Dr. Chris Loveline crash course in sex education. So listen up. All right. first thing we got to work on is we got to work on our confidence, right? Our ability to discuss with our partners and those in our lives without any shame who we are sexually, what we want, and what we're up to. And that's not the sign of, we used to shame people that would talk openly about sex as though they're a degenerate or they're sex obsessed. No, that's about just being a confident and mentally healthy adult, right? That's the goal. Also, getting tested regularly. Every 6 months is roughly the gold standard. It depends on how high risk you are sexually, but about every 6 months is the gold standard. Then about communication around testing and STDs. Asking, when's the last time you're tested? Are you positive for anything? And also disclosing before you have sex with someone if you yourself are positive. Because consent is someone saying yes to what they're coming in contact with as well. So we have to give consent, and we can't give consent fully with sex if we don't know what we're coming in contact with. But I remind people that you yourself are responsible for your sexual health. We can't put that responsibility on other people. So we can't wait for disclosures. We have to ask. We have to, if we want to use condoms, carry condoms. If we want to ask questions about testing, we have to ask, and we can't expect people to tell us. We also have to talk about comfort and boundaries and all that as well. And also there's this whole piece just about emotional care. And that's about knowing that sex has an impact on everyone. It's never just sex. Even if it's anonymous or a fling or a one night stand, they're not a trick. They're not a hookup. They're a person. And sex always impacts them positively or negatively. And we want to take that into account. We want to have sexual ethics. So what does safer sex look like? And that's what we say. Sex isn't safe. Nothing is safe. Everything has risks, and that's okay. So it's about how can we be safer? Well, the first thing is we talk a lot about PrEP, right? And PrEP is that one daily pill that you can take that has a higher rate of efficacy than other forms of protection around preventing HIV. But it only works to prevent HIV, not STDs. And that's where condoms come in, because condoms cover everything. And that's where Trojan comes in. Trojan, well-respected brand. Everyone's familiar and confident with them. And that covers all STDs and STIs, right? And then there's TASP, treatment as prevention. And that means that if you are HIV positive, you take your medications every day so that your viral load is down to zero. And if your viral load is zero, you cannot transmit HIV to a partner. You equals you. Unreadable equals untransmittable, right? So if they don't have the viral load that they can count, can't be transmitted. Also, sex toys. You know what's funny? People forget. You have to clean your sex toys. People honestly do forget that. They leave it on the ground. They throw it in a drawer. Clean them. Or also, grab a Trojan condom. Put it on your sex toy. That's a really great way to keep it clean and also to keep it from transmitting something from partner to partner or partner to you. Or depending on where you're using on someone's body, you don't want to use it on one part and then put it internally on another part, right? So that's great. Also, things like mutual masturbation. That's really low risk when you guys are masturbating together. Also, kink. A lot of kink doesn't involve fluid exchange or penetration. And it's a really hot, arousing way to have sex with someone. And don't forget our buddy porn. Porn is one of the safest ways to have sex with someone, watching it together, using it with yourself. And lastly, good old lube helps prevent tears that lead to infections. So that's your little sex ed crash course. Hope it was good for you like it was for me. So when we come back from the songs, them jams, we're going to be talking about some of the problems with what we call toxic monogamy. Monogamy's not bad, but sometimes the way we're running it is what's creating some problems. See you back in a few.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Okie dokie, question of the night. It's about perfect dates. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect date, right? It's all fantasy anyway. Got to show up and see how it goes. But you want to hear your fantastical-based perfect dates. I know what mine are. Mine center around horror movies. You know, I once went on a date, and it was a first date, and we went to the Museum of Death. Yes, there is a Museum of Death here in LA. It's no joke, FYI. It's extensive, and it was actually very disturbing. And that was my first date. Needless to say, there wasn't a second date. You can fill in those blanks. They weren't impressed. not putting your best foot forward, but I was being honest. It's called keeping it real. Okay, toxic monogamy. What does that mean? Well, I write about that a little bit in my book, Rebel Love, which is available everywhere. But the whole concept is that we live in a culture where a lot of the norms and standards that we all hold ourselves accountable to, or more importantly, our other or others accountable to, are really rooted in some emotionally abusive tactics. And it's really fascinating to unpack all of that for people. But we tend to have this idea that if we're in a relationship with someone and it's committed or exclusive, or we got married, or we're boyfriends or girlfriends, or we live together, whatever are the symbolic rituals you go through that lead to some level of, like, you know, we are together. For many, it's putting, you know, on your Facebook in a relationship or posting on your IG. But we then think erroneously that, and abusively, that we own this person. And even in the language, that's my partner, that's my wife. No, it's not. You don't own them. And it comes up a lot when I remind people that you're allowed to have boundaries and privacy, even with your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend that you live with and have kids with for decades. It's mentally healthy. It's mentally imperative for psychological health, actually, to be able to have boundaries and privacy. You're allowed to hold parts of your life or your thoughts just to yourself. And my lazy example at times is around masturbation. That's called solo sexuality, right? And I've talked about that before. So just quickly a run through. Your partnered sexuality is what you are in monogamy marriage offering to this other symbolically as an act of union and care and love. But your solo sex life, sex with yourself, they don't get to weigh in on. That's where you get to assert autonomy, that you are still an individual, that you're still an I and a me. That's where you get to have privacy and boundaries. I love when people share those parts with each other. It's a way to build intimacy and get to know each other. You can include them in it, but you don't have to. And you get to push back when a partner is trying to control that part of you. And we actually have a DM later in the show that are from sliding into the DMs that is around this topic. What do I do when I'm in a relationship with someone who's liking other people's pictures, right? Which is someone basically saying, how do I control them? Dr. Chris, tell me it's okay to try to control them. So, you know, there was this meme going around for the longest time, and I have to find it again, but basically it was, I saw it on many, many, many pages. People were loving this. Something like, oh, my psychology professor said that if you, it was basically saying you can't love more than one person at a time. And I thought, what a toxic concept, because we love multiple relatives at one time. We love multiple children at one time. We love multiple friends, but we really struggle to understand that you can love your husband or wife and also acknowledge feelings about other things in the world. And that it doesn't have to be threatening. There's space for that. And that comes up also with this whole concept of friends with exes, where people think, gosh, if my current is still in love with their ex, that's bad or a problem. And I've said openly, I hope to always love my exes. That's beautiful to me. And the newer people in my life have to understand that that love can still exist and that's not threatening. It doesn't have to get in the way. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about this whole idea of just acknowledging that no matter how attracted you are to your partner, no matter how much you love them, no matter how committed you are, you will still, because you have eyeballs, be oriented towards other attractive things in the world. And that doesn't have to mean anything or take away from your partner. And it came up in an article and also in a conversation in my own clinical practice where, you know, partners' inattention, we'll call that, where they're looking off at other things, can go from distraction to fixation. So yes, if you're with your partner or other and they're overtly giving their gaze to someone else, it makes sense that you're feeling left out, excluded, or ignored. But if there's just distractions, we have to allow for things like that. Well, yeah, people might be on their IG and be following the page of attractive things, attractive foods that you don't cook, cars that you don't have, and also models sometimes. That shouldn't be threatening. It's called having eyes and wanting beauty around you. As long as they're appropriately engaging it, right, with the boundaries that you two have chosen, there should be no problem with that. But there's these articles and there's these books about the idea that one shouldn't have their gaze, you know, oriented towards something or someone else. Otherwise, there's something wrong and they're not in love. And that's very, very, very unhealthy and toxic. But I wanted to land on a very bizarre study related to all this, actually. So I laugh at times what people take their time and money to research. And here's a real zinger. So around this topic of our partner's gaze wandering, a bunch of researchers found that people, when assessing romantic suitability, tend to look more at the other people's heads and chests. Wait for it. But when they're just assessing potential friends, they look more at their feet and legs. I was like, huh? That's bizarre. But apparently what this research was trying to show is, yes, if your partner's looking at someone's face or chest, they're planning to cheat on you. But if they're looking at their feet or legs, it's just mere friendship. Don't worry. And I thought, what a bizarre study. I couldn't disagree with all that more. I make eye contact with everyone. And it's also, let's not reinforce the idea that we should be threatened when people are taking in others. Anyway, that's the world we live in, y'all. You know what I mean? Okay. We're going to take some time, and then we come back. We're going to be sliding on into the DMs, so stick around.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
That was Lizzo. Lizzo is a friend of the Channel Q family. Talk about someone who's embodying all of the Loveline principles. That girl is out there doing her damn thing, body positive, sex positive, female empowerment, making her music her way, busting that flute out. If you guys haven't seen Lizzo perform, get on YouTube, check it out. She killed it at Coachella. But guess what? It's time for the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into my DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big, sexy world, and we want you to explore it with confidence. Hi, Dr. Chris. I need your wisdom and level head. I'm complimented. Thank you for those compliments. So my boyfriend and I have been together for a year. And that whole time, I've heard of some of his female coworkers, but I've never met them. But supposedly, he talks to them all the time about me and couldn't wait to meet me. Well, one coworker in particular, he would never mention when talking about them. And it wasn't until I saw a Snapchat picture of a random blonde girl on his phone from before we started dating with the caption, "Damn, sexy." And I asked about it, that I even know this was another person. Okay. And when I expressed my curiosity and asked him like, "Oh, so did you have a thing for her?" He said no, that she was weird and she flirted with everyone. Then when I checked out her Instagram, there were many half-naked bikini pictures that my boyfriend had liked, and I noticed they were best friends on Snapchat. I wasn't threatened by it. She actually is engaged and invited him and I to the wedding. But recently, when I actually met everyone for the first time at his employee party, things were awkward. Like, couldn't look me in the eyes, cut the conversation short, and that wasn't the only time. We found out she goes to our gym and ran into her today. And again, it was like there was some tension with both of them, and they both were very awkward. I was the one that had to break the silence and say hi. My question is, can I bring it up again? How do I approach the topic without sounding insecure? I don't know where they would be. I don't know why there'd be any tension between any of us, and it's uncomfortable. Okay, 1,000 thoughts. Number one, some people feel really uncomfortable sharing their sexual history or relational history to a current. So it is possible that maybe they hooked up and neither one of them are able to acknowledge that, yeah, people have had sex lives prior to meeting their current partner, right? Like when you're out in the world and you're single, you're doing your thing and then you get in a relationship and sometimes you're uncomfortable acknowledging that you had just had a single life. But we have to acknowledge that. You are no one's first partner. Like, right? They've been with people before you. We have to be okay with that. So it's possible that he's not comfortable around that. And we have to respect that. You're like, you know, again, people are allowed to have privacy and boundaries, right? So I would stop the Inspector Gadget exploring, though. Like, that's one thing I don't like about social media is people can track what their partners are liking, what they're looking at. And again, if you're with someone you trust, then none of that should matter. Let them like as many photos as they want of half-naked people. And if you don't trust them, then you need to work on why don't I trust them or why am I with someone who's not trustworthy? Because that's really the issue. Because if you trust them, then it shouldn't matter. But can you bring it up again? Yeah. I like the idea of people sharing what's going on with them when in a relationship with someone. Like, hey, I know I brought this up. It's all how you bring it up. I know I brought this up before. It seems like there's something awkward going on. Is there something I'm not aware of? Because you keep seeing this person. But more importantly, lean on the fact that if you trust each other, it really doesn't have to matter and you can kind of write it off. All right, that's that. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about tips for maintaining intimacy and sexuality over long distance. That's right. Coming up next. See you in a bit.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. It's about perfect date ideas. It's not just for me, it's for everyone. We're all going to be waiting with bated breath, little notepad writing them down. Okay, so tips for people that are in long-distance relationships. They happen. Sometimes you're dating someone who's in a different town, city, across the country, sometimes in another country. That doesn't mean the relationship can't work. It doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. Sometimes people meet while they're traveling. Someone's in town on business. It can still work. You just got to be smart about it. You got to know what to do because we all miss holding hands and cuddling and kissing. Those are the easy things when someone's local, but when they're farther away, it's really harder. It's a lot harder to maintain intimacy, right? You feel that gap, you feel that space. And as I said before, that's because the really important qualities that make us feel close and intimate and connected aren't there or available. And so we do the best we can, right? Because it's touch, eye contact, and time together that really makes us feel like we're present and connecting to someone. And that's not going to exist if they're far, far away, but we can do our best. So what do you do? Well, first off, you got to make sure that you guys are on the same page. Are you monogamous? Are you not? And I talk a lot about that because a lot of gray areas let people off the hook. And you really want to talk about what are the expectations on each other because of the distance. And that kind of takes that then off the table. Because as I keep saying over and over, if you trust someone, then you don't have to worry and track who they're liking, who they're following on social media, and who they're out with, and what time did they get home. Hopefully, if you're an adult, you can, if you've had this discussion, trust them until shown otherwise, and then you can just let that part go, right? That's really important because that's what burns down a lot of long-distance relationships. All that stress and anxiety and insecurity as to what they're doing when they're not with you and who are they with. Get over that, let that go, right? And then you can settle into the relationship. The other thing is you have to be able to talk about feelings openly. We get soothed when we're having a disagreement or feeling like there's distance, when we can see someone and touch them and look into their eyes and hold their hand. But when it's long distant, you can't do those things. And so you have to get really good about communicating your feelings and working through conflict. You have to maybe not go to bed angry, where in real time, I tell couples, go to bed angry. If you're too dysregulated to have this conversation in a loving way, go to bed and start it up again in the morning. But long distance, that can actually feel harsher and harder and more disconnected. And so just be prepared to talk more than you normally would about feelings. It's really important. Also, try things like sexting. We now have FaceTime. We have Snapchat, we have IG, all these different ways that we can send videos and share. And that's a way to feel closer, right? Sexuality is a form of intimacy building. It's a beautiful tool and resource. And our phones allow us to do that. So you don't have to go without that level of intimacy because of distance. It's still available to you. And that's phenomenal. So take advantage of that, right? That's really healthy. Also, schedule times that you're going to connect deeper than just texting. And the whole idea of scheduling scheduling when you're going to connect and when you're going to see them next is, you know, you can look forward to it. It's not this open-ended, I don't know when I'm going to see them. And that's what I tell people, always have a commitment. We're going to see each other face-to-face once a month, every 3 months, every 6 weeks. I'm going to come, then you're going to come. We're going to back and forth. You have to plan all that, figure that out. That way you have a structure and you can count on something, right? It also makes you feel like it's really, truly real and serious. And also do that with some phone calls and Skype. Right? Have a rule. Let's get on the phone or Skype at least every other day, or maybe even every day at the end of the day on our way home or whatnot, or at least once a week on the weekends when we have downtime. But build these things in, right? So we can wait for them. We can have expectations. We can feel like there's structure. And then also there's things like, you know, making sure you're focusing on having your own private life when you're not with them. Don't leave large gaps of time where you're missing them and feeling lonely and longing for them. They're not that available. They're further away. And so build in your time so that you feel like you have a wholesome, full life, and then you don't take it out on them. Because it's easy to really punish our partners because of the distance, and that's not going to be helpful, right? And also allow the distance to, as they say, make the heart grow fonder. That's one of the strengths to distance, is it's more meaningful when you finally do see them. So play into that and allow that, right? There's an excitement that can build around that. Like, further that, utilize that. That can be part of foreplay. The problem with seeing someone who lives local is that they're often available, and then you can start to get into fights over really stupid small things. But knowing that you don't see them as often, you got to really carve out that rare time together as sacred space. That's not the time necessarily to have really problematic, conflictual conversations. You really want to preserve that as, this is one of the rare times we get to see each other. So let's just really focus on positivity. I always tell people, you get to decide how that weekend's going to go. Really focus on making sure it feels positive and pleasurable, because there's nothing worse than leaving that time together, knowing you're not going to see them again for a while, and having left feeling bad. And so resolve whatever you need to resolve and keep it fun, keep it connected. Long distance relationships aren't ideal, but they don't have to be deal breakers. So hang in there. All right. We are going to be taking a little break. We come back, we're going to be breaking down some more tips. Give us a call, 833-LOVE-0001. Swoop into our DMs, and we'll see you back in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-0001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Loveline.
This is
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Time for question of the night. Tonight's question of the night is, perfect dates. And it's a hard one. You know, a lot of people struggle with coming with perfect date ideas. So I love this question, because not only can we explore what for you is a perfect date, but it also gives tips to those that are always struggling with, where do I take someone? I get a lot of those texts, so you guys are helping me out as well. So perfect date. Someone said something romantic and corny, but also relaxed. Camping over a lookout to watch the sunset and sunrise. Packed tons of food and snacks and sleeping under the stars and then go back in the morning. Oh my gosh, I just felt that. That was so adorable and soothing. I'm stealing that one. Someone else said perfect date would be long drives or walks, a light dinner, lots of talking and listening, some hand-holding, kissing. I'm a dork, so lots of laugh, obviously. Evening dates are the best for me. I love that. I like dates where you can talk, because I'm all about like deep intimacy and connection. And so I like ones where like the camping or the walks, where you can just like look at each other and hold hands and talk. I love that. Someone else said perfect date would be a picnic with a bottle of wine and then seeing a live music show or something. Bonding over shared love of music and food and wine is my love language. I love that as well. I think there's something really sweet about live music, because you can like sit next to each other and cuddle, and you can sing together and dance together. And like concerts and live music usually have such a positive vibe around you socially. I love that. Perfect date. Someone else said food and good conversation at the beach. I love that. Anyone who has access to a beach, I've shared this before, that I love dates at night on the beach where it's dark and the wind's blowing and it's super loud and you bring a blanket and sweatshirts and you kind of like cuddle up and you just listen to the sound of the ocean. It's stunning. So for those that have access to a beach, yes. Perfect date. Someone else said go out to dinner, get a little tipsy, flirt, have sex, cuddle, and then breakfast in bed the next morning. Do you know I've never done breakfast in bed in the morning? I have to add that to my list. But I like the rest of it. This one is after my own heart. Someone said perfect date would be a horror movie marathon, not the cheesy ones, with lots of blankets, snacks, and cuddling. Yes! That, for me, is heaven. I could do that date weekly and still be happy, happy, happy. And I love that you threw in there not the cheesy ones, because a lot of horror films are cheesy. Someone else said In-N-Out and a movie. Okay. I like it easy, easy, right? Someone else said asleep in bed. That's the perfect date. Oh, no talking, huh? Someone else said perfect date would be music show, art fair, something other than dinner and a movie. Okay, some people don't like the classic. I like the art fair. I like to do a lot of fairs. I like to go see a lot of exhibits at galleries and museums. So I love that. It sparks conversation. It's also interesting to see if your date engages you and how much they engage the art. Because I went on a date once where they were on their phone the entire time. They didn't take in any of the photographs. They didn't engage me. And that was such a powerful red flag for me about their unavailability in terms of just relationality. So you learn a lot about people on these dates. Perfect date for someone said running my hands through Jason Momoa's hair and touching his biceps. Well, yes, that is a perfect date for a large number of people, especially Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock. She is a huge Jason Momoa fan, but MEQ said he just shaved his beard, so I hope you like clean-shaven men. All right, perfect date. Someone else said homemade dinner, wine, and then, as the song says, I ain't mad at that one. Got my support over that. All right, other perfect date ideas. That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th because it's not too hot, not too cold, and all you need is a light jacket. Yes, someone is a Sandra Bullock movie fan. We all love that one. Perfect date. Someone said snuggle in bed, movie night, popcorn, maybe video games. I love the snuggling. I love the movie night. I love the popcorn. I'm not a video game guy. I mean, good on you. Good for you. I've never really played a video game. I like, it's lost on me, but you know, do your thing. Here's a good one. All right. Perfect date. Someone said graveyard, play Tame Impala, getting high and talk. Okay. Yeah. We used to do that when I was in high school. I don't know what that one thing is, but the other... Yeah.
It's a band.
Oh, it's a band. Okay. What kind of music is it?
It's like indie rock.
Okay. MEQ says it's indie rock. All right. Cool. I'll have to check it out. I'm not familiar. But if it works well with the graveyard, getting high and talking, well, then there's your perfect date. So I have to check that out. Okay. Somebody else said meeting someone, finding them attractive, feeling a genuine connection, and most importantly, feeling like they find me attractive too. Maybe ending with sex. I love that. You left it wide open. For you, the perfect date is about that energy, meeting someone. And that's actually interesting. Like, have you ever met someone and then you went right into a date? Because usually people meet someone, get their numbers, and then plan a date. But it's rare that someone's like, hey, what are you doing right now? Let's go on a date. Let's turn this into a date. Come sit at my table. I'm going to have to try that. I think that's really interesting. Someone else said beers and burgers, the B and the B, the double B's, B squared. Beers and burgers at a bar with live music that's not too loud to talk over. So it's B cubed, the triple B's. Beers, burgers, and bar. Yeah, I like it. I mean, the whole thing for me about bars is I'm a talker, as you all probably picked up on, and I like to talk a lot. And often at bars, you can't. It's loud, you get distracted, and there's a place for that, obviously. But early on, especially if it's a first date, like I want to talk, talk, talk. Perfect date. Someone said $2 for $4 Filet-O-Fish, Sprite Zero, and watching a rerun of Friday Night Lights. There it is. Bam, bam, bam. Filet-O-Fish. I didn't know people actually ate those. I didn't know McDonald's still had them. It's a McDonald's thing, right? Okay, perfect date. Someone said, anyone that didn't end with police involvement. Wow, that's real. That is real. Okay. I mean, the bar's low, right? Just as long as the police aren't involved, that was a great date. I mean, okay. I hope more for you in the new year. I'll say that. Someone else said, perfect date is just hanging out at a park or something. I love that. I actually love that. I've done that with friends. What are you going to do? We're going to go to the park. We're going to laugh. We're going to talk. We're going to read. We're going to share quotes. Corny for some people. I love stuff like that. But I think the park thing is really adorable and beautiful. I love that. So
That's sweet. Simple. And that's the thing. Dates don't always have to be ones where money is spent or an extreme amount of money. Like, you can do a lot of these that you guys are sharing. What's so powerful about them is they're cheap, they're free, they're basic, they're adorable, they're easy. Because a date really shouldn't be about impressing someone, right? Like, I think then you're not actually on a date anymore. You're stepping into ego and something else. A date should be, we're going to create a time and a space where we can get to know each other. And so it really shouldn't matter what you do. And activities are often fun, but it really shouldn't have to be rooted in impressing someone. Right? Because it's not about game playing. We're all about, you know, honesty and authenticity. So anyway, somebody else said, hanging out in the park. We said that. Someone else said, there's no such thing. Just be yourself. I mean, amen, mic drop. Like, that's the whole thing I'm saying, right? All right, coming up next, celebrity rehab. We have Nick Mora, Loveline's cultural guru, with us. She's going to be breaking down the struggles of those celebrities, and I'm going to be swooping in and fixing them, so stick around. We'll see you in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Okay, we're back, and we're with Nick Mora, our Loveline pop culture guru. So, Nick, tell us what is going on in the world of pop culture and celebrities.
Celebrities and pop culture, there is so much going on, but Danny Amendola and Olivia Culpo broke up, and Danny Amendola literally shared his dirty laundry on Instagram and wrote exactly why they broke up.
I thought we knew better than that at this point.
Listen, in a world of Instagram where privacy boundaries are so blurred now, I mean, I was living for the tea, because he literally laid out the entire relationship and claimed that Olivia would always get mad at him for not posting about her on social media, and that she lived in essentially a fishbowl dying for more fame. So he laid it out for us.
And that's kind of how we probably get the real truth these days, is people's social media that they post about what happened, right?
Exactly. It's a modern day press release written by the person themselves, which I love, because that's when you get the real truth, right?
Sure does. Sure does. Ouch. That one was an ouch.
Yeah. I mean, Olivia also was really upset, but this was their second breakup. They've split before.
Okay.
And now that it's finally over, the athlete shared it to his 650,000 Instagram followers.
Just between me and you, right?
Yeah, just between me and you. And it was super personal and so long. And I guess he was upset that she was dancing with Zedd, the DJ at Coachella, and made a couple of comments and called him scrawny. So he was really out, like, hitting zingers in that Instagram post.
I guess if you're going to take someone down, take everyone down with them, right?
Yeah, he was not leaving any page unturned in the reason as to why they broke up, which, you know, I respect it, because now I know the truth, or at least I feel like I know the truth, and so do the followers. But Olivia's team is really going after him.
Right on. All right, Nick. Well, thanks so much. All right, so that's the backstory, and now it's time for some clinical rehab. So as Nick said, we live in a time where social media is people's diary, it's their press release, it's where they really get all their feelings off their chest. And on one hand, that's really beautiful, because it gives people a resource where they can really explain themselves. But it's also problematic at times as well, because when we're in our feelings and we're angry, sometimes we say some really harsh things that we can't take back. And as we've talked about on Loveline before, you're always marketing yourself on your social media, and you're alerting to other people, potential people you might date in the future. You're showing them how you handle disappointment and frustration. And so sometimes when you put your ex on blast in a negative light, you're showing people that you might be an unsafe person to date. And so I understand that people go through their own relational history and they have traumas and people get triggered. But I always tell people, before you get on your social media, take a couple days, settle down, take some deep breaths, and then circle back and post whatever feelings you want to put out there. Because I know for me, having just gone through a breakup last year with someone who's a public figure, we both made a commitment that even though we had hard feelings at the end of it, we weren't going to take to our social media and say anything bad about each other, because we wanted to honor that even though we weren't able to move forward in a romantic, committed relational way, we still wanted to push forward and leave the possibility of being friends. Because as we've talked about all the time as well, being friends with your exes is a really good sign. It's a sign that you don't burn things down. And so remember that too when you're posting. This is someone who I built a relationship with, and I might want to be able to continue that, just changing the boundaries, because maybe sex and dating weren't going to work, but you might want to still have them in your life. So social media, I get that it's a good place for your feelings, but just be careful. When we get back, we're going to be sliding into the DMs and talking about, what do you do when the person you're in a relationship with is liking all the Instagram hot models? We'll see you back after the next song.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q. Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into my DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan. It's a big old sexy world, so explore with confidence. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, I've started going to the gym again. Long story short, I used to be quite dedicated, but over the past couple years, I've fallen out of those habits. And I'm finding I'm really anxious. I'm worried that I'm being judged for how weak I am and that I'm doing everything wrong. Also, I find the male gaze of other patrons extremely unnerving. The other day, I was using the hip abductor, and literally on my first movement, a guy stared right at my crotch. How do I feel more empowered when going to the gym? Any tips for coping with the negative self-talk would be mucho helpful, because I feel like it's the biggest thing standing in the way of making me go to the gym as a habit. Thank you so much. This is beautiful. I love this. I mean, you know, again, anyone being very thoughtful about their process around anything is so powerful. First off, if you're back at the gym and your, you know, the habits aren't really necessarily there, I always recommend consider getting a personal trainer. They're very useful for people getting back into the gym. Maybe want someone to kind of help them to make sure that they're not going to do anything that hurts themselves with form and creating a workout plan. But I always recommend getting one that's definitely body positive, or a trainer that's part of the Health at Every Size movement, because you definitely don't want your trainer to be focused on weight loss as much as them helping you focus on strength and movement and all the, you know, true health-based qualities. But as far as you feeling anxious about being judged, I'm sorry to hear that that happened. You know, as someone who goes to the gym as well, I often do watch, you know, male identified people really use it as a space to take advantage of the positions people are in and what they're wearing based on comfort, a lot of spandex and whatnot. And so first off, it's just a reminder to the listeners that, you know, people are at the gym to work out and they're wearing things that are comfortable for them, which are often very body revealing or body hugging. Don't stare. You know, it's not a place for you to, you know, take advantage of what you're seeing. And people are there to work out. People are there coming in with different levels of body trauma and body confidence. And so just a reminder, let's let everyone just feel safe in that space. Let's not eroticize it, because that's what people aren't there for. But as far as you dealing with that, it's really difficult, because in some ways we're at the mercy of other people's boundaries. I would hope that they're tracking your discomfort and backing off. But basically, I would say what I always recommend is wear your earphones. For healthy people that understand healthy boundaries, it's usually a signal that I'm not here to be interacted with. And I also personally recommend not making a lot of eye contact. And I hate having to say that, but some people misinterpret that as you being open to being approached. So, you know, the gym really just requires practice to get comfort. It's a different kind of space. It's unlike any other space, but, you know, it has a lot lot of value, and it's an important part of many people's routines. So just go, put your earphones in. When you're feeling anxious, make sure you stick around, learn how to tolerate some of that anxiety. And the more you go and you recognize people, you'll get more familiar and you'll feel safer. And I'm just hoping that people can start to do better with how they interact with people at a place like that, because it's a source for a lot of people of trauma, right? Where they've been bullied, or they've been body shamed, or they feel like they have to, you know, look a certain way to be seen as legit or taken seriously. And that's just really unfortunate. So, all right, we got another DM. This DM's question is, what is your take on boyfriends liking sexy Instagram pictures? I've told my boyfriend how much it bothers me a couple times, and he slowed down on it a ton, but still likes a few here and there. So first off, you know, I'm glad you're sharing with your boyfriend things that are making you uncomfortable or anxious. That's a form of intimacy and vulnerability, and it's really important to be able to do that. If we're in a relationship where we can't share what it feels like to be with them or things they're doing that might make us uncomfortable, we're really not in a true relationship. And I am then concerned about the health and sustainability of it. So I'm glad you can bring that forward, but also know that our partner's job isn't to make sure they never make us uncomfortable or upset. Our partner is allowed to say, if we've brought something to them, I hear you, and this is what I'm willing to do to make you comfortable. But they're also allowed to say, I hear you, but unfortunately, I'm not willing to change my behavior. And, you know, it can skew a little emotionally abusive if we're trying to control someone's behavior, even if it's around things that make us uncomfortable, because there's nothing psychologically wrong, and there shouldn't be anything relationally wrong with people recognizing others as being attractive in the world. I don't want them flaunting it or using it against you, but people are going to walk through the world and see things that are equally as attractive, no matter how much they're into you, committed, and in love with you. That is just part of, you know, having eyeballs. We're going to be oriented towards other attractive things. I don't know why he feels the need to like them. I think it's okay that he follows them and enjoys them and sees them. That's life. That's eroticism. It's everywhere. I don't know that he needs to like them and really concretely and objectively demonstrate the fact that he's enjoying them. So I'm surprised he's not willing to just back off from that piece, because I'm hoping you support him and still following them and looking at them. I mean, again, that's part of life. We don't want to get emotionally abusive and try to overly control and regulate all that. But again, if you slow down, maybe that's where you have to see him being caring and loving, and he's trying to find the gray area, right? Where he's trying to honor what's going to make you more comfortable, but he's also trying to honor what makes sense and feels okay to him. Because again, some relational issues aren't solvable, right? I tell all couples, a third of things can be completely fixed, a third of them can get made better, and a third of them are just how they are when you two are together. So that's that. Sliding into my DMs is presented by Trojan Condoms, because it's a big, sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. All right, you guys. So that's our show. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, our show is podcasted on the WeAreChannelQ.com page, so you can binge us and catch up on old episodes that you loved or didn't get to hear. We'll see you again tomorrow night. Have an awesome, awesome evening.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.